It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent. At the state capitol, the Wisconsin legislature is beginning a new session with dozens of lawmakers being sworn in. Between the state Senate and Assembly, more than a quarter of lawmakers are starting their first term. And with a $4 billion budget surplus, Democrats and Republicans are setting their priorities as they will craft a new two-year budget plan. To get a preview of the session and the top issues that lawmakers hope to address, we turn to J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. He's been covering state government for 25 years. J.R., welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing some accounting here. Wisconsin has six new state senators, all Democrats, 31 new assembly members starting today. How might this new class of lawmakers impact this term?
Good question. It seems like every media outlet that covers the Capitol has written a story in the last 6 weeks wondering, will there be more compromise in the Capitol with a different composition politically, the two houses? The short answer I've got from my source so far is not likely. I'm not hearing lots of signals from Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss or Senate Majority Devin Levenhue if they're all of a sudden going to change their ways and get along after the last 6 years. So remains to be seen, but I'm not seeing just yet there's going to be a huge, massive shift in the cap. Now, it doesn't mean things will be different. There'll be high stakes for a lot of these members in swing districts on some
JR, I think we just lost you there for a moment.
Votes, but as far as like all of a sudden, I'm not seeing that. Have you got me back?
Now we have you back. It sounds as if, though, that even with new lawmakers coming from all walks of life, leadership is still stuck within some same grievances, same issues?
Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, and Devin Levenhue, Senate Majority Leader, to hold the line. The conservative base is going to want them to not give in to Evers. And so they're going to have to thread that needle of what can they get done with the reality of a Democrat still in the East Wing, the governor's office, with that very powerful veto pen. What can they get done? What's realistic? And so there's going to be they're going to fight a lot. I'm just not trying to get a whole lot done the next 2 years.
All right. So amidst all of this is the budget. In the coming months, the legislature will put together its two-year budget proposal. Governor Evers will put forth his plan, looks like in February. Can you walk us through the timeline of the budget process and how this blueprint comes together?
Sure. The first thing actually has come up is going to be later this month, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is the nonpartisan budget analyst arm of the legislature, that shop will do its look at revenues for the next 2 years. The governor's office, his administration did its look in November. Fiscal Bureau will update that later this month. That'll be the foundation of how much money we have to spend or do tax cuts or whatever mix between now and the end of 2027. The governor gives budget address, I believe, February 18th. He'll send that document then to legislature. The Joint Finance Committee we'll get it. They'll do public hearings March, April-ish. Then they'll start doing it line by line, review the governor's budget, or what they've done in the past, they'll strip out all of what Evers proposed beyond current law and start from scratch. Then the committee will continue to vote through May and June. If they can get things done on time, we'll have a budget sent to the legislature before the end of June. They'll vote it out by June 30th, and the governor will sign or veto it, or alter it, this partial veto pen, sometime in early July.
Well, thank you for walking us through the next 6 months or so. What we know now is that there is a $4 billion budget surplus. As you mentioned, that can change. How do you think lawmakers will approach the discussion around tax cuts, and will that be a priority?
Robin Voss has already said $2 billion of the $4 billion in surplus we anticipate by the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, is because Governor Evers had vetoed past tax cuts Republicans proposed. He has drawn a line in the sand that money will only go toward tax cuts, period. Now, what he wants to do is pass a tax cut bill before the budget, send it to Evers, see what he will sign, and then use that to figure out what the state can afford in his mind or other things. Governor Evers did a kind of end-of-the-year briefing with reporters in the Capitol on Friday. Didn't sound real enthusiastic about committing to a tax cut without the rest of the budget being part of the discussion. So I'm not sure he's going to sign what they send him, but obviously Evers is looking at whether it's a run again in 2 years or a year and a half now, I guess, for re-election. So he'll have to keep in mind, does he want to sign a tax cut again before possibly facing the voters? Does he want to place the money into education? Where does that discussion go for him? But the first big high-stakes game in the Capitol or challenge will be, will the governor sign a tax cut bill before the budget comes to him later this year?
At that Friday briefing, Governor Evers wants residents to be able to bring statewide ballot proposals. He wants that language to be included in the budget, I understand. What would this look like for citizens to be able to place constitutional amendments on ballots?
Basically, you'd be able to do what lawmakers do. Right now, the only way to amend the Constitution is for the legislature to pass the same proposal in back-to-back legislative sessions, then goes to the voters for a vote. Voters could initiate this process instead, get it on the ballot, and then have a vote. The reality is, it's not going to go anywhere. Governor Evers proposed something similar after Roe v. Wade was overturned a couple of years ago. The legislature received a proposal from him to do a special session to take up his call. They ignored it. This will probably strip down the budget in early spring. What it will do, though, for governors, it will put Republicans on record saying that, no, they don't want to give citizens the same power that they have. That's part of this. But from my talking to people so far, they're not expecting this to change because Republicans already rejected it one time. Why would they change their minds a couple of years later?
We're getting a preview of the new session of the Wisconsin legislature that begins today. Our guest is J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Moving on to education here, State Superintendent Jill Underley wants the state budget to include an additional $4 billion for K-12 funding. And Underley also wants to increase the special education reimbursement rate to 90% by 2027. How might Democrats and Republicans respond to this request that seems to really target the budget surplus?
Yeah, keep in mind, Governor Evers used to be the state superintendent. Even he has said that's a big number. So I get the impression from my conversations that they're not going to see a $4 billion increase for schools in this coming budget. Now, the question is, what's going to be Evers' proposal, and then what will lawmakers accept? Don't forget, there is a state Supreme Court case right now out there. Governor Evers, in the current budget, took his veto pen and changed the language to guarantee for 400 years an increase of $325 per kid per year in what schools can spend between state aid and property taxes. Now, that provision can be changed at any moment by lawmakers, governor agreeing on something different or whatnot. Anyway, the court could strike that down. If it does, that automatic increase goes away. We're back to current law. There's no guaranteed increase. If the court upholds that ruling, though, Robin Voss has said that might be it. Republicans might say, okay, that's the increase for schools and overall spending. We're not going to talk about anything more than education. On Friday, governors called that a joke, quote unquote. That's or his words. He wants to propose a bigger increase for schools. Now, the question is, how big? Going back before this current budget, in six of the past 8 years, schools got no increase in what they could spend between state aid and property taxes. Most of the money that Republicans approved for education went to lowering the property tax burden rather than increasing what schools could spend overall. So what's the measure going to be this budget? That's the big question. And it will hinge, possibly, on what the court does with that case in the 400-year veto.
In previous sessions, Democrats have brought forth proposals for stricter gun laws. And in light of last month's deadly shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, how might Wisconsin lawmakers respond to the issue of school safety in this session?
We're not going to see much change from Republicans. There's been no indication that all of a sudden they've had a change of heart or think that when the gun laws that have been proposed would change things. We don't know all the details that happened in Madison. That's still being investigated. But in past incidents, Republicans said, look, if you want to do a red flag law or a waiting period, they don't believe those changes would have impacted these school shootings. What is going to be interesting to note is, like I said before, I'm not anticipating a big movement of agreement or kumbaya in the legislature, but there are a number of lawmakers who are going to be on the hot seat in 2 years. I know it's a long ways away, 2026. An election, which had one, but there are, I believe, five Republicans in the assembly who are in seats that Kamala Harris won more votes than Donald Trump in those districts in the fall. There are six Democrats who won election in the assembly by less than 52, with less than 52% of the vote. So there will be a lot of votes that would put them in a position of, okay, how do you defend that on the campaign trail in November of 2026? While a lot might not get done these next years, there could be a lot of high-profile votes that could be challenging for some of these lawmakers when they look at the prospects of seeking re-election in 2 years.
And in a couple of weeks, President-elect Donald Trump will be sworn in as president. What does the second administration mean for the Wisconsin legislature? Do you see any ripple effects?
Good question. I mean, one obvious change is we're going to possibly see Sean Duffy, former Wisconsinite, kind of lives in Jersey right now, become transportation secretary. Tammy Baldwin said she's excited about that prospect. So, always good to have a Wisconsinite in the position to make decisions about transportation funding. But with President Trump, when he takes office again, look, what's it going to mean for the economy? What's it going to mean for Democrats and Republicans and how they feel about things in 2 years? President-elect Trump made a lot of promises this fall. He said, for example, in Prairie du Chien, I believe it was back in September, October, that your utility bill will be cut in half in the first year he's in office as president. Now, talking to people who know utility rates, they don't think that's going to happen. But will gas be cheaper, right? Will eggs be cheaper? Like, what's it going to look like? And what I'm getting at is that will affect how people feel in 2 years about voting the polls. Like, will they be excited about voting to keep to reinforce Republicans and their priorities if things aren't going well? Will
Lots
Democrats
to watch
dust themselves off?
for.
Yes.
Yeah. JR, good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Have a great day.
You too. JR Ross, editor of wispolitics.com, giving us a preview of the new legislative session.